before the Sunday before because I didn't get finished, and I don't want to hold you too long this morning because I know that you probably all had coffee before you got here this morning, and since the bathroom situation is limited, when I see you wiggle in your seat, I'll know that it's time to go. How about that? I'm kidding about that a little bit. There is a bathroom in the dining hall. If you need to use the bathrooms here in an emergency, we'll just make it work. So, and the power company will be here at 1, hopefully, to fix our meter out on the... It's not in the building. It's out on the meter. That's the problem. So hold it to 1, and we're good. And we're good. Amen. As I said before, I remember the days of going to the outhouses and, I didn't mind the cold outhouse near as bad as the warm one because I was always afraid the warm one had the spiders in it. Yeah. The snakes or the spiders. That was my... You insulated with Sears Roebuck. Yeah. Yeah. The clean pages, right? Oh, help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. You didn't spend time there sitting and looking at Facebook, did you? Scanning your phone and... We're so very blessed, and anytime we have a technical difficulty, I always think, Jesus did it without a praise team. He did it without a microphone. He did it without a PA system, and he did it without bathrooms. And I was a little bit nervous because Monty come carrying his lunchbox in this morning when he came in, and so we were hoping there was at least 5 loaves and 2 fishes in there in case we had to spend the afternoon and divide up whatever was in Monty's lunchbox when he walked in. So. I don't think he was in a mindset of share, but in case you didn't know it, there is a lunchbox here, okay? I'm kidding. Give him a hard time. He gave it to Andy. So they're going to mob Andy for it then before we go. Amen. We talked about harvest, about seed time and harvest. When I get to this time of year, I think about the power of harvest, and I think about the season of giving thanks and thanksgiving. And on our Wednesday night services, we've been talking about thanks in the giving. And we're talking about giving of our time and our talent and our treasure. And sometimes we think the only way to give is in the offering plate. And let me just say, I think that's important. I think it's needed, and I think it's powerful. And I believe God will meet you wherever you are. Amen? And I understand if you don't have to give. Pray that God will make provision in your life. But we pray blessings over you. It's not about how much you give. The scripture said when Jesus saw the woman giving into the plate... Her 2 mites, he said, she's given more than all of you because she has given out of her need and out of her necessity. And you don't have to raise your hand, but anybody in here ever had to give out of need or necessity? Hallelujah. And we could probably pass the mic around the room today and talk about the times where God has just provided for us and you just knew it was a God thing. Amen. Anybody in the room say, I knew it was God. I knew God had opened the windows of heaven. I knew God had made provision. I knew that it was a God thing. Hallelujah. So I thank him for the opportunity. And I've always taught in this church, the scripture says it's more blessed to give than to receive. And as a child growing up, I never understood that because everybody knows it's more fun to receive than to give, right? I mean, as a kid, you're all about the receiving. Amen? As much as it's fun to be a receiver of things, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to be a receiver. When provision is made and God just meets the need. But how powerful it is to be a giver, to be the one, and what I mean by that is to be the one on the side of being the one to give instead of being in the position to have to receive. You understand what I'm saying? There, all of us probably have had times where we've had to be on the end of a receiving because we just did not have provision. And thank God for his provision. But man, how powerful it is and what a blessing it is to be on the side where you see a need and say, you know what? I can meet that need. I can minister there. I can be a blessing in that. Thank God for the ability to be a giver. Amen. And I believe that's a blessing. So I believe that our giving is in many, many facets. It's many avenues. I believe we can give of our time, our talent, and our treasures. You've heard ministered in this church, and Brother Lynn has said it many times, what you don't support goes away. What you don't fund goes away. And that can be good or bad. If there's something that you don't like, quit sowing money or quit sowing resources into it. But if there's something you do believe in, there's something you do love, and something you do want to continue, fund it. See to it that there's always a resource there that would cause that to continue. I believe in being a giver, not just because I want blessings to come back to my account. And I believe that God will pour into our account good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And that scripture is in many different contexts. It's really in the context that it's spoken there. It's talking about forgive, and it shall be forgiven you, or give forgiveness, and it'll come back to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together. But I believe it is a principle of giving in whatever arena you give, that you open an avenue for it to be poured back into your account. Have you ever had to put something into a container and then shake it down to get more room? You know what I'm talking about? You put it in there and then you got to shake it. And if you shake it a little bit, it'll compact and you got more room. That's what I think about when I think about good measure, pressed down, shake it together, and then running. It's done been shaken together. It's compact and it's running over. That's the goodness of God in our life. Amen. Hallelujah. And so I'm thankful that's been the teaching in our home from a young person, from a young girl growing up. We were taught to be givers. We were taught to be tithers. We were taught to give alms. We were taught to meet the need of the needy and things like that. But I think we've got some great givers in this house. I think we've got good-hearted people. And so I honor you for your giving. And I honor for you for being seed sowers into the kingdom. Amen. Not just to this church, but into the kingdom. But Genesis 8 and 22, and some of these scriptures I didn't give the girls back there, so don't get nervous. And don't look at them, it's me. In Genesis 8 and 22, it says, "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease." How many know if you want to reap a harvest, you have to first plant some seeds? You know, we've been reading to the kids in class recently about the pilgrims coming over to, you know, America, and they came here for freedom of worship. How many know sometimes we take that for granted? The sacrifices that were given and the price that was paid so that we could establish a country that has freedom of religion and freedom to believe how you want to believe. Amen? And so in that, how many know there was some teaching that had to take place of those who were here, the Indians and things like that, had to teach them how to plant some seeds so they didn't starve through the wintertime, and gave provision to them and helped. It's a sad thing to go out and harvest your crop in the fall if you forgot to plant it in the spring. Especially if you were waiting on that to get you through the winter. And so we even have become a generation where we're way more dependent on Walmart and Food Lion than we are on our own abilities. And I'll just tell some more stories. Just early on in Dan and I's marriage, when we got married, and his dad was quite a farmer. He could grow a great garden, and so we helped do a lot of canning and things like that. And we also, you know, it was hunters and harvested meat, you know, and did some of those kind of things. So it was a great feeling come winter when you had the pantry full of canned goods, and you had the freezer full of deer meat or, you know, whatever it is that you raised. You felt a little bit more comfortable going into the winter season. Amen. And so because of the labors that you labored in the summer, because of what you would need in the winter. And so we sow seeds in every season. And we talked about the different seasons in our life. And church growth comes from seeds being sowed. If we want to see a growth even in our assembly and in our increase and things like that, we've got to sow seeds. We have got to be seed to the sower. We've got to invite. We've got to plant seeds. We've got to make provision. We've got to give the call. Jesus said the harvest is ripe. It's white. It's ready for the harvest. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest would send what? Laborers into the field for the harvest. Some of the best ways that you can get people's attention or get their interest, even in coming to the house of the Lord, is to plant some seeds. And one of the best way to plant seeds is your testimony, the power of your testimony. We talked a little bit about this on Wednesday night, just the power of your testimony and the evidence of the work of God that's happening in your life and what God's done for you. But in Psalms 126, 1 through 6, it says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. How many know they were an example among the heathen? The Lord hath done great things for them, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seeds, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I love that that scripture said, shall doubtless come again. He that goeth forth bearing precious seeds shall doubtless, without a doubt, come again, bringing his sheaves with us. What brings the bounty of the harvest and the increase? It's doubtlessness. Faith in the harvest. Faith in the power of a seed. How many know we never have really truly understand, I don't believe, the power of a seed? Because we may take for granted one kernel of corn or one acorn, not knowing how many oak trees are in that acorn. You understand what I'm saying? One acorn can produce an oak tree. But one oak tree can produce many acorns. And many acorns produce many oak trees. You understand what I'm saying? And sometimes we devalue or underestimate the power of a seed or underestimate the power of seed that is sown. I was encouraged back at conference when Bobby Tucker was here, and Bobby goes and digs wells in Zimbabwe and Kenya, and he does a lot of work in Africa of digging wells and establishing churches and things like that. And while he was here, he talked to me, and he said, I still credit that little altar over there in that building at youth camp when I was a young boy at church camp for my relationship with the Lord and my faith in God. And he said, I got away from it a little bit in my teen years, and I went through some struggles, and he went through the program that we support with our missions, with the pennies that the kids gather, we send to Outreach for Youth. He went through that program. God has reestablished him in his life. He has a beautiful wife, beautiful children. His son wants to go in the mission field. He's going back to Africa to dig more wells. He said, but I still credit my start to that spot at that altar when I was a kid at church camp. Never underestimate the power of a seed and what that seed can produce and what it has the power of increase. I think we sometimes don't even think about, even when as we're ministering to children or ministering to people and things like that, the potential that's in that seed. And I think if we ever really vision it and we ever really look at it and think, man, there's potential in that seed. There's power in that seed. I don't know where they'll go or what will happen with that seed, but I'm going to plant the seed. I'm going to water the seed. I'm going to, you know, not everybody has the total duty to see the seed brought to pass. Do you understand what I'm saying? But one plants and one waters. And the scripture says, and God will bring the increase. All you got to do is put the seed in the ground and trust the seed to do what it was designed to do. And I told you back the other week or so ago, we sometimes think it looks like we're having a breakdown, but we're really just having a break open, because God has planted you somewhere, and when he plants you, you're going to have to break open first before the heart of the seed can happen. But when it breaks open, it starts to sprout, and you find out there's life inside of you. And if you allow yourself to break open and God to break you open where he's planted you, then he wants to cause growth to come forth in you, and growth will produce fruit, and your fruit shall remain. Hallelujah. That's good news. And so it may seem like they tried to bury you, but they've really just planted you. They tried to bury Jesus, but they didn't know he was seed. And the scripture said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it will bring forth much fruit. And just like he was buried, you were buried with him. You were quickened with him. You were seated with him. And you were resurrected with him into new life. And it might seem like they've tried to bury you, but they've just caused you not to have a breakdown, but a break open. Yeah. Hallelujah. And so God wants to bring forth fruit out of your life. Hallelujah. He does not want you to sit stagnant. He does not want you to sit stale. He does not want you to live in one season. Amen. I love when I look at the seasons changing right now. And I shared before and said, if I were a tree farmer, and this was my first year at raising maples and oaks, I would think I was a failure. Because every maple leaf off of my beautiful maple tree in my backyard is gone. That tree is beautiful in the fall. But if it was my first experience with a maple tree, I would think I was a failure. And I would give up at being a maple farmer or being an oak farmer because it looks like my tree's dead. What I don't know is it's just storing up some things for the season that it's in. But I have stood in snowstorms and shoveled snow around oak trees that have buds on them because they don't respond to exterior circumstances and environments. They respond genetically to how they were programmed by their creator. And even in the midst of a snowstorm, they're producing buds because they know that they're an oak tree and they know spring is coming. See, I don't give up in the winter. I don't give up when I see the leaves fall off the trees because I know it might be in a dormant season. Anybody in here ever been in a dormant season? But let me tell you, if you give up in the dormant season, you're not going to see the blossom of the spring. You're not going to appreciate the fruit that comes in the summer. Hallelujah. And I can look around if I was an apple tree, I would be envious of the peach in the spring and in the summer. Because if you know the seasons of fruits around here, peach trees come on and blossom and bloom before the apple trees do. Right? And in the fall, the apples are a later season than the peaches. Very early on, I worked in an apple processing packing plant. And these peaches were first. And so if I'm an apple tree, I might be envious of the peach who looks like they're blossoming and I'm not. But I was never called to be a peach tree. I was born to be an apple tree. And what we do sometimes, we measure ourselves by what we see somebody else's season or somebody else's time of growth. But you were never designed or purposed to be a peach tree. You were always called to be an apple. And if you'll hang on and just do what the seed inside of you has designed you to do, you'll find out that God will bring forth a fruit in your season. It's so easy to look around and say, man, look at the fruit on their tree and look at mine. My maple tree can be envious of the pine tree all at once. It can be envious of the evergreens. It can think, man, that spruce is green and it's thriving. But it's not my maple tree season. And try as it may, it will never become a spruce tree. Because it's not what its creator ordained it or designed it to be. You understand what I'm saying? Be what God has designed you to be and grow where you're planted. And thrive and allow God to bring the increase in your life. And I believe he will. And I believe he brings it in seasons. And don't be envious over somebody else's season that looks like maybe they're doing great. And your season doesn't seem like it's happening. I'm going to talk a little bit about the parable of the sower this morning. I think it's probably going to run a little bit longer than I want to keep you because of our current situation. So I'm going to drop some thoughts, and then we'll see how far we get from there, if that's okay. Hallelujah. How many know God has called us all to be fruit bearers? Now, we talk about, you know, we know, understand the fruit of the Spirit. It's not necessarily fruits of the Spirit. And it's not apples, peaches, grapes, limes, whatever. It's the fruit that the Spirit produces. What is the fruit that the Spirit produces? Love. And out of love, we come the expressions of love, joy. What are they? Peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, temperance, faith, kindness. All of those are expressions or fruit that comes out of a life that's connected in the Spirit. That's why it's called the fruit of the Spirit. The Scripture says, walk not in the flesh, but walk in the Spirit of the Lord. They that walk not after the flesh, but walk after the Spirit, produce fruit. Fruit is an expression of being Spirit-filled, by being Spirit beings, by living according to the Spirit. To be in, living out of a mindset of the Spirit and not out of a mindset of the carnal man. How many know sometimes you got to talk to your carnal man? You got to speak to yourself. You got to think higher than your natural circumstances. You got to think above natural circumstances if you want to be a fruit bearer. And so fruit bearers understand that you got to have good ground. You got to be planted in good ground. If I'm going to sow seed into the kingdom, I look for good ground. I look for people who are good stewards of finance. I look for people who have the ability to touch multitudes of people. I look for places to sow seed to encourage somebody that I think has potential. I look for good ground. Fruit bearers understand kingdom mindsets. Not just natural circumstances, but kingdom mindsets. They have a garden mentality. How many know Jesus set it right on the tree of life in a garden? She supposed him to be the gardener, and she wasn't wrong. He was a gardener from the beginning. Planting is destiny concealed. Reaping is destiny revealed. Let me say that again. Planting is destiny concealed. Reaping is destiny revealed. Reaping what has been planted and seeing a destiny unfold or be revealed. In between that, in between destiny concealed and destiny revealed is watering, an environment. The environment that you put the seed in will determine the rate of growth and how that thing develops, right? When I left my house this morning, some of the plants that I still had out that are summertime plants were pretty wilted. They were pretty frozen. Amen. Because the caretaker left them in the wrong environment. Yeah, it's all Dan's fault now. And so there's some of them, they weren't destined to make it through the winter. They're summertime plants. Do you understand what I'm saying? They need warmth. They need sunshine. They need water. And so I always have this thought that I'm going to bring them in over the winter, right? And I'm going to put them in my basement, and then I'm going to water them from time to time, and I'm going to take them back out in the summer. Only a month or two later, I realized I brought them in with all intentions of watering them, and I forgot, and now I have leaves all over the basement because out of sight, out of mind. They must be kept in an environment that's conducive for them to grow and to produce and thrive. If your life is not producing fruit, if you are not thriving, if you are not bringing forth an abundance like you would like to see in your life, check your environment. Check where you're planted. Check where you've been seated. Check who's pouring water into you. Check who is bringing nurturing and nourishment into you. Check what the environment is around you, because if you want to have healthy plants, you got to have a healthy environment. I shared Wednesday night the story of the 10 lepers. And they cried out and said, "Son of David, Master, have mercy on us." They were in a leper's colony. They were leprous. They were unclean. They had spots. They could not pursue or be around the general population. They had to stand back and cry out with a loud voice, "Son of David, have mercy on us." The only shot we've got to change our environment is if Son of David will have mercy on us. But what Jesus says to them, I think, is powerful. He says to them, go present yourself or show yourself to the priest and be pronounced clean. And the scripture said, and as they went, they were cleansed. I mean, one of the first steps in response to what the word speaks to you is you got to respond to the word. When God starts to speak something into your voice, you might not know the end from the beginning, but start walking. As they went in their journey, as they walked out what was commanded to them of Jesus, they found out that their healing came. They found out that there was a healing came, but what he wanted them to do was not go to the priest for the priest to pronounce them unclean. He wanted them to go to the priest so he could pronounce them clean. For so many years, we've had it backward. We've had people come to church or come to the house of God. Instead of pronouncing them clean, we have pronounced them unclean. But if you ever find a father, if you ever find a priest, if you ever find a man or woman of God that'll preach the grace of God in your life and pronounce you the righteousness of God, pronounce that you have been made whole. You are not who you used to be. Old things have passed away. You have been buried with him in baptism. You have been resurrected into new life. You are not the person you used to be. You are salt. You are light. You are trees planted by living water. You are who God says you are. If you ever find an environment that'll pronounce you clean, that'll say to you, you have been made whole, you have been touched, and in your journey, go back and tell the one who sets you free, I'm clean and I'm whole. Thank you. He said, one turn back. Said, thank you for my healing. Yeah. Jesus' response to him is, where are the nine? Were there not 10 who were made whole? Or were there not 10 who were cleansed, but where are the nine? See, we sometimes become receptors of his glory, receivers of his healing and his strength. But if we ever become kingdom exporters, if we ever find out we were blessed to be a blessing, we were healed to bring healing, we were called to set people free, we'll realize in the thanks. Going back in the thanks, we realize we've been made whole, we've been set free. Hallelujah. But if ever there's a cry and a need in this day and in this generation for a priesthood that'll rise up and say, you are clean, you are whole, you are righteous, you're the born again seed of God. Yes. Hallelujah. You're salt, you're light, you are a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. See, I could spend 45 minutes this morning telling you everything that's wrong with our planet and our country and our community and our president and our government or whatever it is. But how many know that takes the focus off of him who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords? And I refuse to give the focus to what's happening in the natural. I choose to declare that my God has the kingdom of this world shall become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. I still believe the end of the book, it still says we win. I still believe he conquered death, hell, and the grave, and he's called us to be salt and light in the earth. My response when people say, man, how horrible is that? How tragic is that? I say, be salt, be light. It's an opportunity to be salt and light. Shine like you've never shone before. If you see darkness all around you, you need to be light. You need to shine. Shine forth with the glory of God. That's how we conquer darkness, is the light overtakes it. Hallelujah. An environment of increase. An environment of nurturing. An environment where growth is encouraged, is permitted, it's needed. Planting is destiny concealed. Reaping is destiny revealed. And in between is watering, our environment. Hallelujah. I already told you that before you witness the sprout of a seed, there must first have to be an explosion or breaking open of that seed that causes that seed to germinate, causes it to start to grow. There has to be an explosion that breaks an outer shell that releases the heart of the seed. And I believe God wants to release the heart of the seed inside of every one of us, and we need to get ready to look for the evidence of it. It may look like things are blowing up, but they're just blowing off. You're not having a breakdown, you're having a break open. In John chapter 4 and 1 through 29, when Jesus came to the woman at the well, he told her, he said, if you knew who it was that asked of you, you would ask of him for a drink of water and he would give you living water. I believe T.G. Jakes said it like this. Jesus did not come to make the woman at the well religious. He came to water a seed that had been planted, and she was about to burst forth in growth and new life. He didn't come to make her religious. He came to water a seed. And when he watered that seed, the scripture says she went back to her village and said, come see a man who told me all things ever I did. Could this not be the Messiah? That as seed sown into the earth, when God began to water the seed of the woman at the well, how many know she became a seed sower? And she went back to the village and she started casting seed and said, I think I have seen the Messiah today. I think you guys better come see a man who told me all things ever I did. I think I may have come into contact with the Messiah today. How many know she changed a village because somebody saw the power of a seed inside a Samaritan woman sitting on a well one day who thought she had no value? But God began to speak. He said, I don't want to just give you a drink. I want to cause you to be an artesian well. I want you to be a well springing forth with life eternal. He watered a seed, and because he watered a seed, she began to touch her village. She began to touch her community. Says, your mouth is a fountain of water that pours forth praise and waters the seed of promise inside of you. Do you believe that? Thank you, Monty. Your mouth is a fountain of water that pours forth praise and waters the seed of promise inside of you. Do you believe that? Say amen. The more you water, the more of the growth, the more you see the bounty of the harvest. Now let me read that again. Your mouth is a fountain of water that pours forth praise and waters the seed of promise inside of you. The more you water, the more the growth, the more you see the bounty of the harvest. What does that mean? The confession of your mouth is like a well springing forth. Jesus said, out of your bellies, when he stood up in the midst of the tabernacle on the day of the pouring out of the drink offering, as they began to pour out the natural drink offering in the temple, Jesus stood up as a heavenly drink offering and said, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink, for out of his innermost beings shall flow what? Rivers of living water. So if we understand that our mouth is a fountain of praise, and when we begin to pour out of this fountain praise, it waters a seed that's going to bring a harvest. And the more you water the seed, the more the harvest is going to bring forth. The more we understand the power of life and death that's in the tongue, and the more we begin to speak to our destiny. Hallelujah. Speak life or death. Choose to speak life. It's a choice. The power of life and death are in the tongue, and I choose to speak life. We can talk ourselves into quite a predicament. We can talk ourselves into quite a mullygrub. We can talk ourselves into a state of confusion, a state of defeat, a state of powerlessness, a state of despair. We can start looking around at everybody else's tree, thinking, I must not be doing something right because that spruce over there, he's got it going on. Do we? Don't we? And we sometimes judge ourselves only to realize that's not who I was created to be. It's not who I was created to be. It's okay to be a spruce if you were created to be a spruce. Now, we know God has designed each one of us with giftings and talents and abilities. I wrote down this statement someone made. Your old self is waiting on your young self to plant seeds for harvest season. Think about that. Your old self is waiting on your young self to plant seeds for the harvest yet to come. See, it's too late to wait till you're old and ready to draw retirement to start thinking about it. You understand what I'm saying? There are things you can do right now, whatever age you're at, that can help you prepare for the days that are ahead. Amen? Your old self is waiting on your young self to do what is profitable for it today. Planting seeds of preparation for what God wants to do in your destiny and in your purpose and in your life. Thank you, Jesus.
For this generation, think about the next generation.
Absolutely.
If what we're doing today doesn't affect the next generation, then we've done something wrong today.
Yes, yes.
We haven't planned in our old age to do what the new age or the new young age is going to reap from and receive from.
Amen.
If we don't teach them today respect and responsibility and wisdom and character, it's not going to work tomorrow because they don't know anything about it. Nobody ever told them. And nobody ever told them that if you sass me, you're going to get your mouth slapped.
Oh, yeah, they did. We demanded respect,
right.
Responsibility,
right.
Character.
Right.
Amen.
I mean, what we produce is what our next generation is going to produce. If my tree's not producing right today, it ain't going to produce right tomorrow. So it's important for us today in our older age or in this age to be responsible for what's going to happen in the next age and to teach the young people and the young generation to know their God and to follow their God. You know, when you all were small, we took you to church. We didn't leave you at home, or we didn't get babysitter, or get nobody wanted to babysit seven kids, so we had to take you. Nobody really wanted to see us coming, but that was okay anyway. But you know what? You have to model it, right? And you know, when you all were 6 and 7, 8 years old, you were getting baptized in the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. I mean, you can't fake that.
No.
As a young person. So you saw those things happening, so you just knew it was part of being who you were going to be and who God called you to be. And, you know, Lynn knew it at 9 or 10 years old that God called him to preach. He knew that. When we went to a revival and at Brother Jones' church, actually, and God spoke to him and told him that he had a work for him and Jack to do. And they come home and told their dad. Those were the things that caused Jack to come to the Lord. Because he said, I love my family, you know. Might not always been acted like it, but he said, I couldn't see him going on to be with the Lord without me. And he said, I asked the Lord to come into my life. And so the seed that you produce in this generation is what's going to affect the next generation. And even this generation, sure, still, we can't give up.
Absolutely.
We got to keep going and keep doing until...
Still planting. Still planting. Yeah. You're never too old to plant seed. It's not about age. You're never too old to plant seed. And you're never too old. It's never too late to change your tomorrow. You might not have a lot of effect on your yesterday. The best thing you can do is let yesterday be yesterday. But you do have effect on your tomorrow, your today and your tomorrow. And the ability to change, if you're not satisfied where you are right now, you have the ability to change that. And here's the good news. It's not all about what you do.
Amen.
Aren't you thankful for that? It's about what he did. He's the ultimate seed. He's the ultimate seed planter. The corn of wheat that fell into the ground that died. And he said, but if unless it die, it's going to abide alone. But if it die, it's going to bring forth much fruit. I am a recipient of that seed that was sown into the earth, that it could bring forth fruit in all of our lives, and that that fruit might remain, and that it might bring forth a bounty of a harvest of what he desired it to do. Amen. And in this time of Thanksgiving, in this season, I think it's a time of reflection, of harvest, of seed planting, and of giving thanks for where we are and what we have. Because how many know a heart of thanksgiving is one of the greatest propellers into what comes next? If you'll be thankful for what you have, it's the best cure there is for complacency, for discouragement, despair, depression. Let me tell you what, one of the best things you can do if you're down and discouraged is start counting your blessings. Start saying them out loud. Start saying, Lord, I thank you that I have a home. It might not be like somebody else's home, but I have a home. Thank you that I have food. Thank you that I have clothes. I have shelter. I have provision. I have a church. I have a community. I have life. I have health. I have, thank you, Jesus, an abundance through your goodness and your mercy and your grace. Amen. Amen. If we do it all the time, we have less likely to be down. Amen. Amen.
I grew up like in the church at a young age and stuff, so I grew up knowing God and believing in God. But whenever I was about 17, I really got lost. Yeah, I lost my way for a long time, and like 12 years. And just recently, this past year, I was to the point where I was pretty much trying to kill myself, and I started doubting God. And the further I got away from God, the less I could feel. And whenever I felt so empty, the only thing that made sense to me that God is real. It's the only thing that is real. And my mom loved me through so much. Her fruit was just so awesome that I'm thankful to be here today and to have a happy heart.
Amen. Let me give you a hug, girl. I'm proud of you. It really does work. That's the kingdom. Amen. Thank you for sharing that.
Thanking God for
but God.
And I want to tell you,
and God turned that around.
I see my God work miracles, and my dad gave his heart to the Lord, and he came to my home and he lived, and I took care of him till the day he died. And my dad was a giver. My dad was an awesome giver. He would send me to Berkeley Springs to widow ladies with bags of stuff that I had to walk. But I'm telling you, we have to let God work in our hearts and our lives, and the real love of God come forth to in our lives, to let people see where we have come from today, to who we are and what we are. And
amen. That's the kingdom in operation. Amen. That's the kingdom in operation. Wilda can just tell you the grace of God to deliver from alcoholism and generational alcoholism, that God broke those things, broke those cycles, and set that family free and gave them a new destiny, a new purpose. The seed of God that changes our life, that changes alcoholism, drug addiction, whatever it is. I mean, you know, that is the kingdom in action. That seed, if you allow that seed of God to be planted in your heart to change, it's the power of God unto repentance. It's the power of God that changes us from the inside out. And there's nothing that we can do to make it happen but the grace of God that comes. Hallelujah. We can plant the seeds. We can water the seeds. We can pray over the seeds. We can thank God that he brings the increase in our life. Amen.
Winchester to pick up the bodies to bring them back here. It was so bad that they had to have two extra freezers out back just to keep the bodies for the people to claim when there was over 50 or 60 bodies in that morgue. We need to understand, we need to pray for these people.
The power of God, but God.
It's really taking over our nation, God.
Amen. Hallelujah. And I believe in the power of God to break addiction. I believe in the power of God to set you free. Amen.
Glory
to set
God.
You free.
I'm very thankful for you guys and for the teachers.
It's just awesome to see how close our youth group is here and what our camp does for all the youth.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
But just like you said, there's
seed of God.
Trees. There's still life in those trees. And I can look at the young people, my children too. I can see what God's doing.
Yes.
Even though on the outside it looks like they're killing themselves, God has a seed planted in them that cannot die. And I thank God.
Incorruptible seed.
Yes.
Incorruptible seed. Amen. That God can bring the power of the incorruptible seed to bring it to pass in our life. Amen. Stand with me this morning. Thank you for your participation. And we'll get into more of this maybe next week. But hallelujah. You know, I told you once before that I had a pastor friend, and he asked us to pray over their community. They had such a struggle with drug problems and things in the community. He said, while we were there for a conference, he said, while you all were here, he said, I want you to drive through our town, and I want you to pray over this town. I want you to plead the blood of Jesus. I want you to pray for God to break strongholds. And his daughter was struggling with a meth addiction at the time. She has since been delivered from that. God did a deliverance in that community. I believe in praying over your community. When you drive through town, speak in tongues over it. Pray over it. Anoint it. Say, I just declare the word of God over this town, over this community, and healing and provision. And I just speak to the seed of God, the incorruptible seed of God that's in this community to bring forth fruit. Hallelujah. And a bounty of fruit in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Crystal, sing something for us while the children are coming.